Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review a wine from Columbia Valley in Washington by Luke and their Cabernet Sauvignon. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, Rob. How are you this evening?
I'm fetching. That's what I am.
You're who?
I'm fetching.
I should throw a stick?
You could. And also on the show, folks, she needs no introduction because she is world famous. She is the Triple B.
Good evening.
That's right. That is the world famous Triple B. Now, we are back from a one-week hiatus. We had to take a week off because, Scott, you had a close encounter. My understanding, you were in a hot tub with a man, and then that man soon thereafter tested positive for COVID. Is this not the correct facts? You were in a hot tub with a man. And
COVID?
Yes, COVID. Or was it herpes? I'm not sure. You said, though, he had protection.
Stop.
He had the Johnson & Johnson, right?
Why are you talking about his Johnson?
Well, I'm just saying.
No, we had a hot tub experience with some friends.
But the women weren't in the hot tub, though, is my understanding.
Yes, they were.
Well, were they?
Actually, his wife was not.
Okay.
The hot tub was too cold for her.
You really were in a hot tub?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was in a hot tub. I wouldn't make up that story.
That's what happened.
I thought, okay.
No, that's the truth.
He was in a hot tub with a man. I told Hank that, and he goes, "What, Boat? My word, Boat." He was in a hot tub, and I said the wives were not there. Boy, why was he in the hot tub with the man? I said, well, because they wanted to.
It's more like a swimming pool than a hot tub. It's like a 10-person hot tub.
Oh, okay. But you weren't on the other side, obviously. He's like, hey, man, we got this whole 10-person hot tub.
No, afterwards,
do we?
The four of us went inside and we had cocktails. That was the 6 feet, 15-minute indoor exposure.
I'm just saying. I'm just bringing that up. It had nothing.
By the way, my friend's now okay.
Good.
He's okay now.
Oh, good.
He was quite ill.
Well, yes, COVID will do that.
But breakthrough. We're not going to name names. But my friend had the Johnson & Johnson shot.
Mm-hmm.
And, similar to a lot of people, he had no idea where he contracted it.
Yeah.
And his wife, who has, we would have great concern if she tested positive. Somehow negative.
She's probably vaccinated as well.
But she had Pfizer.
Well, there you go. She had the one that actually works.
Easy.
I don't think that's...
Well, Pfizer and Moderna...
What just happened to you?
Well, the New York Yankees, a bunch of them had Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
They all got COVID.
The numbers are Pfizer and Moderna, the mRNA vaccine, for all its criticism by... people.
Joe Rogan.
It's the one that works.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Some aren't just Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he's a clown. Nevertheless.
Easy.
Well, he is. So, on tonight's show, we have an interesting wine. Well, we have a wine that is interesting.
It's interesting.
Ish. Yes. It is from Washington. We haven't done a Washington wine in, I don't know. When was the last time we did a Washington wine? I can't quite remember.
We used to espouse the Horse Heaven Hills region. I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems. Trouble finding it in our market, and wine.com's is having the triple H's as
right
much.
Right now, wine.com's inventory is quite sparse. If you've looked at it and done a deep dive, we talked about that. I think last year around this time, it was sparse, and it might be inventory turnover time, and they probably don't release stuff until into the fall, would be my guess. They run through it, and then the wineries don't ship. Or they're going out of business again. Who knows?
Easy.
I'm just saying.
Why are you putting that out in the universe? Where are you all going to get wine if they go out of business?
I'll make it out of my bathtub. That's what I'll do.
or in that hot tub.
Yes, we'll now called the vodka vault. We'll just drink vodka every time.
Perestroika.
We know the Triple B wants to do that.
What you gonna make? Start making hippie tea. Rob the wine guys. Kombucha hippie tea.
Straight vodka. It's the vodka vault. Then the next night, it is now the absinthe vault. It doesn't. The episodes though don't go on for like an hour and 15 minutes. It's over in about 6 minutes. So yeah, that's how that works. Nevertheless, on tonight's show,
Dad, Luke took a bath in the vodka hot tub again.
It's nice how you always subtly integrate the names. On tonight's show, it is Luke.
It's Luke
Winery. I know Luke Winery and their 2008 Cabernet Sauvignon from Columbia Valley, but more specifically, the Waluke Slope AVA. Now, I believe Waluke means, I looked this up, it is a Native American word.
Yes.
And it is something about water. Let's see. It's about a watering place. It's a Native American term for watering place. The Wanapum. Is that right? Yes. The Wanapum are the native settlers and caretakers of the land that is now the Waluke Slope. And it is with great honor and respect that Luke is produced from this beautiful place. So Luke is part of Waluke. He's also one of my children's names, which is why I bought it. But who knows?
Well, we haven't bought.
Oh, I forgot to do my sports inventory.
Washington in a while.
No, we have not. Not for the show, anyway. And I can't even think about anything else that's in the queue.
And this got the boutique winery designation from wine.com. Yes, it did, sir.
What does that mean?
It means that they accidentally put that on there. But. Well, I think there's 13,000 cases made. Does that make a boutique?
It says less it's not than a big one. Cases produced.
No, 13,000. 13,702.
I think wine.com missed it.
Well, I mean, it's not a that's not a huge
now,
production.
Is that for this wine or for the everything they make?
That's for this wine. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that would not be
no,
boutique.
that's not the collecting. That's sustainable, you twit. That icon means sustainability, not.
No, the little basket with the grapes in it.
Yeah, that's not collectible.
Wines.
That's a. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Oh, it's not collectible.
Boutique wines is what it means. Less than 1,000 cases produced, which is inaccurate also. Since we just read the tech spec sheet that says 13,000.
Well, that's very incorrect. Maybe at one point they had 1,000 cases, but then they realized they had more than that. They do have a higher end. But they don't show that here. That might be less than 1,000 cases. Maybe that's what they're talking about.
Hmm.
With that being, there is every winery has that pretty much.
That's
even
pretty
cake
much.
Bread has something that's probably boutique.
You know. Probably called boutique.
Yes, and called cake bread. Yeah, it is probably. This is our boutique wine. We call it boutique. I think they have something called Dancing Bear, for Christ's sake. So, for all you cake bread fans out there, you want an elevated experience when you can't find Jordan or Jordan. Yes. I like to drink faux expensive California wine. Do you now? Yes, I do. Which one can I buy this week? Well, how about Silver Oak? Oh, that's fantastic. I collect it. Do you now? Yes. I have verticals of Silver Oak, Jordan, and cake bread. Do you? It's fascinating. All right. Did you buy all the far niente you could find? Yes, I did. Next week, I'm going to buy Nickel and Nickel. Are you? It's on sale right now. Is it? How could it be?
Can we talk about
Nickel and Nickel? There's nothing wrong with
Nickel. No, there's nothing wrong with it. But you know, are you buying
easy.
It? It's like $99. There's a lot more pleasure you can buy for $99 than that.
Well.
You know. Not like a massage parlor or something. I'm just talking like in wine, you know.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Didn't want you to go off and
awkward.
Say. You try to take notes. Where is this place? That's what you'd ask me in the second episode. I know that.
This is what the person
said.
Like,
what are you writing down,
question me
I have
being
not,
involved
I have,
in a hot tub.
No, I was setting up the fact that we missed last week because you had a close encounter with COVID. And I'm just giving them details. So I'm setting the stage so they understand that you were in a hot tub with the man.
I understand.
Then, yeah. Okay, there you go. So, folks, we're going to take a break because then we have to come back and drink the Luke Cabernet here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So the 2018 Luke Cabernet from Columbia Valley, but Waluk Slope. Now, I'm probably pronouncing... You can't pronounce that incorrectly, can you?
Could be Waluke.
I thought there was a little zing to it.
Probably the name. I probably am pronouncing it incorrectly. Yeah. I just believe I am.
I hope you are.
That's just mean. Butthole.
So, this is going to shock the listeners, but off air, Rob was a complete asshole.
I was not. Mm-hmm. Well, you think I was, but you're wrong. So
I think so. So two out of three. Bo would probably agree with me. Three out of four.
I'll kick Bo if he says
actually, that. Bo would agree with Scott.
Bo would agree with me. For sure.
I'll give you your bunny if you agree with me, Bo.
He prefers the Hulk.
Oh, that's true.
And turkey treats that I bring.
Oh, okay.
He does like his turkey treats.
So, that's true, though. Rob was a complete
butthead. Why should be different off air than on the air?
Anyway.
Hey, what's tonight's mystery word, by the way?
He's going to get so bad. So bad.
The crimson and clover. Rob's cheeks are over.
You can hit him with the bunny. Oh, poor
that's
Bo.
That's mine.
Now you have to give that to Bo. You can't tease him like that.
It's not teasing Bo.
Look
it's,
at him. He
it's,
got up.
I know he did. He wants the bunny, but he can't have it.
It's Rob. He's saying that's his buzzer, the squeaky.
Yes, the squeaky bunny is my buzzer.
I know, but now Bo's all tore up.
Well, he can get over it. Anyway,
back to the wine.
Your dad's so mean.
Yes, the 18 Luke Cabernet from Waluke. Who knows?
Somebody's the club.
No, I just had to burp. Anyway, the varietals, 96% Cabernet,
don't jump on me.
3% Malbec, 1% Petit Verdot. The vineyards on the Waluke Slope is Winebaugh, Ravenscliff, Southwind, Oblesco, and Seven Hills. I've heard of Seven Hills. I haven't heard of the others.
Oblesco? Say those again?
Oblesco. Or Oblesco, one of the two. Southwind, Ravenscliff, and Winebaugh. But I've heard of Seven Hills. There's a Seven Hills winery. It's actually quite good. Let's take a look here. It is French and American oak, 13,000 cases produced. Well, 13,702, 14.4% alcohol.
Now,
the pH is 3.68.
It's for those that really wanted to know. Yes.
1, 2, 4.
Yes. So, the reviews. There are a few reviews. And I will read the first one being the lowest.
What does that mean? Are you saying that my score?
I'll read it.
You will not do it.
He said aromas of blackberry, ripe blueberry, kelp.
I did say
and
kelp.
Sweet tobacco.
Yes.
It's full bodied with firm, chewy tannins.
Yes.
Ripe, fruity, and juicy. Herbal and flavor. Full finish. Drink or hold.
Waluke.
I was correct. Yes. And no. Drink me, or hold me.
Now. Oh,
yes. And it is. It is full-bodied with firm, chewy tannins, ripe, fruity, and juicy, herbal and flavorful finish.
I already read it. You don't need to reread it.
I was just going over it.
It had another review from the Wine Spectator.
Yes, it did. Yes.
92, a snappy and vibrant Cabernet with blackberry, fresh basil, and espresso accents that build towards the zesty finish.
Mm.
Wine Enthusiast 92, aromas of fresh raspberry, bittersweet chocolate, and dried herb pop on the nose.
Yes.
The palate is ripe, delicious, fruit-filled, and lip-smacking, displaying a lot of density, intensity, and texture.
Density
give
and intensity.
Give this beauty a short decant if drinking in the near term.
I gave it a short decant.
The last winemaker notes are from the Wine Enthusiast, which they gave it 82 out of their top 100. They... They didn't give it that score. That was its award, I guess.
Well,
it's but it's their Wine Enthusiast Top 100.
I think they gave it a 92.
And that's in 2020.
Yeah. And that's not the budget. That's the overall Top 100.
Which is more like the budget for everybody else, yes.
Easy.
So, Luc Cabernet offers aromas dominated by Marionberry and dark chocolate, extended by hints of mint and molasses. Supple, focused, and expressive, layering coffee-accented blackberry and currant flavors with polished tannins and hints of cedar and smoke.
I find it amazing that when they drank it for the magazine, it tasted completely different than when it did for the Top 100.
I am a little bit nervous about this wine because we've heard like mint, molasses, basil, dried herb,
but
yet sweet tobacco.
There's a lot of similarity in there, too. The description of the berry, the chocolate, the mocha tobacco thing. I don't know. There's tie-ins to all those reviews, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I can at least see that they're drinking the same wine.
The espresso, yeah, you see a little bit. I mean, you're expecting maybe a little smoke of some kind.
But so with you get smoke and molasses, and tobacco's not far from smoke, right?
And Marionberry, of course.
Yeah, that's a new one.
The famous Marionberry. Don't act like you don't know Marionberry. He was the DC mayor.
Didn't go well for him.
No, no. So basically, it tastes like cocaine.
Easy.
That's what he liked. So
prostitute.
He's dead, isn't he?
I think he passed away.
Yeah, that's what a lot of coke will do for you.
No.
The Toronto mayor too. He liked the coke.
He had a problem.
He was a little heavy too. He's dead. Deed. I'm just saying, cocaine kills children. Don't use cocaine. But now let's go on to wine. So in the glass, it looks dark. It looks proper. It looks slightly blue.
So here's an interesting... Sorry to interrupt, but Marionberry, I had to look this up.
Oh, that's true. Actually want to know.
Cultivar of blackberry developed by the USDA ARS breeding program in cooperation with Oregon State University. Oh. It's a cross between the Chehalem and Otale varieties. It's the most common form of blackberry cultivated.
So why would you... Why would you crossbreed blackberries? I'm just saying.
No, but there's like all kinds of different ones.
1956. True. It goes back.
And they do that for like disease resistant. 100%. They do that for, that's how they got some of those wines to be, wine vines to be fungus resistant.
100%.
So it's kind of like a labradoodle.
That is also my... grandpa, that on my dad's side, that's what he did for a living. He was a horticulturist.
Oh, true.
And he specialized in tulips, doing the nice tulips.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. So it was bred by George F. Waldo. Where's Waldo?
Waldo? You read all that just so you could say that.
No. I like how you're like, why would they ever do that? And then you're like, oh, those are all really good reasons.
No, I didn't agree with you.
You're not with me. I'm not the one that came up with the field.
I argue
about everything. Is correct.
No, that's not correct. I don't argue about everything.
Nick. I wish I had that rabbit to squeak at you.
No, you don't.
Richard.
Like that.
Poor Bo. Oh.
Sorry, buddy.
He was asleep.
Too. Anyhow.
He doesn't know where he is now.
But hopefully your mom will watch your mouth. So I won't.
I'm looking forward to this wine. Sure. I have
high hopes.
Slight expectations.
Yeah. Don't we'll
see
sing
how
high
it goes.
Hopes, so.
If you'd like.
Smell. Muddled floral and blackberry and maybe a little plum.
Would you say Marionberry, though?
I don't know what that smells like. It smells like a blackberry.
Sylvanberry.
Sylvanberry.
Yeah, it's the Australian version.
Dingleberry. Yes.
You were on toilet cleaning duty earlier today.
That wasn't a dingleberry. That was a log jam. Little beaver.
William was looking in the fridge laughing when he heard you doing that.
Well, you don't lift it. The pipes aren't that big.
My twist on the nose is jammy.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a rose petal, muddled perfumey rose petal as well. Just one petal, though. Not too.
I don't get a huge oaking from the nose.
No. It's maybe just a whiff of menthol.
Yeah.
But maybe a little bit of vanilla-y, but not too much. No, I don't smell smoke or anything like that.
It's not the most promising nose. It's not.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's the best I'll give it.
Yeah. That's good.
It's a beauty in the glass, though. Mm-hmm. Wonderful legs. It looks like a proper domestic cat.
Do you like this, Becky? Didn't think so. Didn't think you would.
Nope. Not a wifey one.
Bit of blackberry compote slash jam, but it almost tastes like a dried, concentrated blackberry. There is a little smoke that comes through on the mid palate through to the finish. It's not overtly oaky, but it's somewhat broody of a wine. It's a little more savory, except for that blackberry compote up front.
I get exactly. If you took those four reviews and took all the components of the espresso, the tobacco,
there's smoky, definitely the
it's all there.
There's definitely espresso, maybe even a little bit of cayenne on the finish. It's not hot,
but just that it's just type a little of bit of pepper, different black peppery. Red pepper thing going on.
So it's a well-made wine, a very good wine. Assuming that this is a style that you like. And I wouldn't even call it a style. But it's a little restrained. And the front palate, the fruit, isn't quite as soft and as ripe as you normally would see. I wouldn't call it a steer. But the mid palate is a little bit. I think, can I guess on Becky, it's more the flavor profile, the fruit profile that isn't your thing?
No, it's the mid palate.
What don't you like on it? No, it's not as a criticism. Illuminate. Tell.
Yeah, what
don't you like? I don't like the smoke in it at all.
Right.
And I don't like the oaking.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
No.
Depends on how it hits your palate.
It surprises me because I don't smell it on the nose, but to me the oaking is off-putting. This, I think maybe where the smoke goes into the oak, I don't like that.
See, See, you, though, are a little more sensitive to that. I think you and I, Scott, might be a little bit more desensitized.
Well,
because I can kind of imagine the element that you're talking about there and where it kind of, for me, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Is it something that makes me excited? I don't know that, but to me, it's fine.
Well, the oak is really present here, it's got really nice tannins. This
tannins sucker
you could
nice.
This you could set.
I think this that is one thing. I think with a little bit of age, 3 to 5 years probably. I think Becky might like it a little bit because I think it'll lengthen and soften a little bit.
For a $20 what?
Oh yeah, 20.
Maybe 20.
No, it's $19.99
on thewine.com. But it's a special offer, Rob.
Oh, that's not special. That's what it costs. If you mark it down to a price, unless it's on discount, which just isn't. That's what it costs. It's $20.
They've got a $27 line item on it. Now, really? I didn't see anything on it. Nah.
I saw this down in Florida, too, when we were down there. I don't know about the Cab. I saw the Merlot. So, and the Syrah. I think the Syrah might be a little bit uglier, which is fine. That's what Syrah tastes like. But I'm more of a Santa Barbara Syrah kind of guy anyway. So, just me.
Actually, online there's quite a few lower price points.
Yeah. I mean, this is a 20-ish. Yeah.
I like this. I appreciate that tobacco espresso smoky thing going on in the mid-palate. And I'm not criticizing you for not liking it, but the reason you don't like it is why I like it. Mm-hmm. And the oaking, for me, it's not overdone, I don't think. I think it could be sat down and settle out a little bit.
Well, I think it's more of a stylistic preference here. It's not there's no default. When I tasted it, I went, this isn't Becky's thing. And it's not going to be everybody's thing because, and it is, the slight, you call it a curl, but it's that little, the oak does extend out and is just a little bit present there on the mid to finish. And that turns some people off. Where sometimes you're going to find it to be toasty and kind of, a little bit warmer. This is a little bit planky, a little bit sour, a little bit.
I don't get sour.
Well, it's not bad. It's not bad, but if you let it linger, you can like you can brush it off and just enjoy it. But it is there. I don't mind it at all. I like it, but I can see.
Thank you for explaining.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people. Mm. I don't know what you're thinking.
Mm. I think this has like a little, almost like French appeal about it in the
little bit of
style. Well,
it's the little bit, but it's not Bordeaux.
No.
It's a little bit of the Languedoc meat.
Yes, 100%.
Slight bit of meat from the minerality.
Headed that way.
Yeah. And you hate that. I know that. Well, and that's what that little twinge right in the mid palate, that's what it's showing.
And I think also the way it's oaked.
Well, I think, but that's what's leading to that. I think the way it's oaked is what's kind of bringing that about. I don't think it's going to be there in 3 to 5 years, though. I think it's going to soften. You're going to have nice, soft berry fruit. I think it's going to be really tasty. That is going to drop out, and I think what you're going to see is this blackberry expand, and blackberry and plum expand through the mid palate, and with some nice tannins in the finish. That's what I see.
Hmm.
So, I mean, even for me, I'm looking at 5 years down the road, I think Becky would love this.
Can we speak to what makes this be a Washington Red?
Well, on the label, it says, it could be really from anywhere as far as I'm concerned. Partly because it's not really adopting that jazzy style. Partly because Washington wines sometimes do a jazzy style. Or the ones that I think that really speak to me are ones that are more Red Mountain, things like that, Quisilla, and where they are big, brutish things. This could really be from a handful of different places. You know,
it's probably the terrain, the terroir.
The minerality peeking through maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way they oak it also is kind of framing it a little bit more. They're not going... Well, when you're just going Columbia Valley, that's a big, big ask. But Horse Heaven Hills does come off differently.
100%.
Horse Heaven Hills is black fruit and, nice, big, spicy, round stuff that is tasty and very approachable and easy.
This isn't quite so easy. As chewy.
A little bit, but also maybe a touch jazzy and a little twinkle here and there. This isn't the twinkle. This is a little more like, elements of French, but not Bordeaux, more the Languedoc kind of stuff.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, and I think particularly the way it's oaked. Gosh, I can tell you right now, I love this. I would buy it again. I just did a wine.com order.
You put this on it.
About half a dozen.
I could tell you this right now. If I was going to bet money on Becky's least favorite wine in the entire world, I would put $20. I'd put $100 down on, she wouldn't know this, but on the Luc Syrah.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you would hate that. Hate it.
Without even tasting it.
No, she would taste it.
That's... No, I'm saying you without even taste that would say that.
Well, you don't like Syrah, and you don't really like how they are approaching this wine.
Yeah.
And so when you throw, because I think, remember Boom Boom Syrah, how kind of hard edge that was?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think that will be really
hard. Y'all would probably love it.
It's got more than me. Washington Syrahs typically, historically, have been a little bit too over the top for me. I could have bought K 100 different times, and they were really good, fair prices right now for highly reviewed wines. I don't. But I'll buy Tinsley whenever I see that. I love Tinsley. Tinsley was gorgeous. Tinsley was the drink of the gods for me.
I'll tell you what I would like to try in their little stable of wines is the Merlot.
Merlot would be good.
Mm-hmm. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
But
I drink all their stuff. I mean,
I couldn't recommend this more highly.
Something, when we were going through, Rob was giving me a couple of options tonight on wines. It's still, I mean, today, this weekend, this past weekend, Ohio has been like 1 billion degrees outside. You have a hard time, like,
2 weeks straight of it.
Oh, it just has been.
The only relief has been torrential downpour rain, which has only made it more humid.
Yeah. And it's like the kind of thing where, like, if you even sit too close to another person, you're like, oh, yeah, don't even get near me. It's just so unbearably hot.
Yeah.
But Cabernet, when Rob mentioned the Cabernets, it made me excited for fall drinking Cabernet on the deck. Being able, I feel like if you have a sweatshirt on, you have a blanket on you, you're outside, Cabernet is like the drink to have. And it made me look forward to that. And it is supposed to torrential rain in Ohio, and drop 20 degrees this week. So,
well, I can certainly buy all the Luke that your heart desires.
But anyways, it will be a nice, I'm looking forward to that season.
Well, you know, I think, and we always talk about, you know, inexpensive collecting things or inexpensive hold things.
Hold things.
This is like,
this is there. This is that.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't buy 5 bottles, maybe 1 or 2, sit it back and revisit it just for fun. See where it is.
See, and I just threw out a number 6, and I think that's what I'll buy. Can we get this locally?
Not in stores. I've not seen it in stores.
I've not seen it either.
Yeah, I've never seen Luke. Because I think we would have, one of us would have bought Luke before if we saw it. Don't you?
Yeah. I don't think there's enough of it. Obviously, it's a boutique wine.
So. And, you know, our selection has been so limited, and it's just just another.
I don't recall the last time I bought wine at a grocery store. I really don't remember it.
It just, you know, unless it's clearance or something like that, or it's something you know to. But for the show, it's just you see the same old characters, and then hopefully, once this all clears up per se, we'll be back to a little more variety in the different places we can go. But, you know, just take us to a little more different places to purchase.
Well, I did
buy, get back to Twisted Vine.
Well, I did buy the Kirkland Signature Alexander Valley Cabernet. So I did buy that at a grocery store, and that was so wonderful. But it suffered from bottle variation, as you would say.
So I do want to bring up, we recently aired a triple header of Spanish wines.
We did.
And the one that fared the worst was the Borsal.
By a long shot. Well, Viña Borja is not good either, but still
went home the next night, Deb had bought some.
Why?
From
with money? Or did she shoplift it?
Easy.
Well, buying it with money is
didn't
wrong.
Didn't decant it.
Okay.
And it was fine. It was considerably better than what we had in the show the night before.
F-I-N-E fine? Well, those screw tops, they can be corked.
It was fine. It was nowhere near as bad as what we had on the show.
Well, time and place, I guess.
No, I think perhaps something we need to consider with cheaper wines, maybe we don't decant them for 2 hours. And that's about what that one was.
Because the air just destroys them. Maybe so. Maybe so.
I mean, there are some wines that you just pour and drink. And it was, and I don't mean, it was great, but it was good. It was the Borsal that I remembered us having.
I think you secretly love Borsal.
No.
Guess what held
up
to it?
If you recall, what I said on the show was, I would never drink this again, never buy it again. And then there it was, and I went, I got to just at least see the difference.
Well, guess what held up to the decant? Protocolo.
Yeah.
Guess what? I have ordered a couple bottles of Protocolo.
Right.
Why? Because it's good. And it can hold up because, you know why? It's a real wine, not a bullshit thing like Borsal stuff is. These fake-ass wines.
Hey.
It is.
You just don't want to deal with reality.
What's reality?
That there is such a thing as bottle variation. It's the truth. It's the truth when you're a mass producer.
But only
wine.
On the wines that the people that you know like, but you want to be nice and tell them.
No, I liked Borsal.
Uh-huh.
And it was awful that night on the show.
It was awful.
It really was.
It was awful.
I think I scored it the lowest.
Yes, you did. It wasn't as awful as you said, but.
No, it was 79 bad.
Well, no.
But anyway, but again, it's the truth.
That was a nice sip.
I really like this.
It's a good wine.
Let's break down this wine in a little more detail.
But Becky, you didn't like the...
Let's move on away from what I don't like about the wine or don't like in wine. Let's talk about what Scott said.
Yes. What did you say, Scott?
Let's break this down.
Okay.
Let's talk more about what there is.
What is there? What would you say?
Blackberry, for sure.
Well, like I said, it's a blackberry compote kind of thing.
Okay.
And it's not very expansive. It's just a flavor, and then it doesn't really release.
But it's distinct, and it's front palate. And then you go straight to the mid palate where you've got a lot going on. Mm-hmm. There is tobacco.
Yep.
There is like a bitter chocolate. Mocha. I would not. See, I was going to say not really coffee mocha. I was going to say like bitter chocolate.
Yeah, I think you're right on the bitter.
And that may go along with the other things that
you don't like
about
chocolate.
It.
Oh, you mean like, like a bitter baker's chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's there.
And I feel like there's a little bit of, it doesn't get too chalky, but there's some kind of texture in there, mm-hmm. too.
Well, that's where I was going with the mocha, but I think it's probably a little bit of the soil's showing through there.
I think that's the expression of minerality that has a little bit, a tad bit of chalkiness.
Yeah. I think all that, though, all that with time... is all going to soften and lengthen. Mm. Maybe not become more complex, but soften.
Yeah. Do you get molasses?
No.
I was looking for that in all my drinks. I don't really get that at all.
I think maybe that's the hint of smokiness.
No.
Somebody went there with it, maybe?
No, you just drop a tab of acid. Then it's molasses.
Mescaline.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the only way to fly, yes.
Some really good
mushrooms. Oh, dude. They're all high on ecstasy. That's the decanter, though, normally. You're right. When I was at the decanter, we all took ecstasy. Well, not me, but everybody else did. They didn't offer me any. They didn't let me in the door. I just looked through the windows.
Wilford.
They called the cops on me. I got arrested. I should have been wearing pants. Never mind. So, you know, it just happens.
One of the best nights of your life.
It was, actually. They strip searched me when I went to the police station. And they
said you didn't have pants on.
Said, sir, we don't need you to. I said, no. I could be having contraband. Like, no.
Oh, boy.
Tim's not on this show tonight.
What? Are you still getting that little bit of pepper on the finish?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Mm.
So what we just described is a fairly complex wine. Simple, straightforward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And maybe not the most appealing front palate. But I like the expression of blackberry.
I think the wine itself as an overall thing needs to sort itself out. It needs time in the bottle. Please don't sing that song. But
there's also a little bit of a medicinal overlay to the wine. Like a Robitussin-y, don't you think?
Yeah. It has like a little bit of a heaviness of some kind that it's in.
You're talking about texture?
I know what you mean. I think it's the oak, probably.
Nope.
Are you talking like texture?
No, I feel like when you're. Let me hold on.
Oh, you need more. You did get your glass down. Pretty good.
I don't know. It's almost part. I don't know. Maybe it's part of the tannins. I don't know. But to me, it has like a little bit of a medicinal. I feel kind of like I drank some Robitussin at the end.
But you
like a lingering aftertaste.
But
not oaking.
In the wine's defense, you are known for your love of drinking cough syrup.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Cough syrup and Kool-Aid.
No, I think I get what you mean.
I get the lingering aftertaste. I don't know that I go all the way Robitussin. But there is
I don't know.
Almost like a dark fruit at the end of it.
Like a sour fig.
Sour
that sounds
fig.
Awful.
Well, you don't like the
fig.
Flavor, so yeah.
No, I would go more just like prune.
Well, maybe.
Which I wonder what the. I wonder what the fruit flavor of Robitussin.
Oh, I know.
Well, they have what cherry, and they have mixed berry.
But there's also just plain Robitussin.
Well, that'd be, I don't know. That'd what probably is. Be mixed berry.
No, it's plain. No, it's just Robitussin. Plain.
It's not flavored.
Well, they say before, it.
What? No, no, no. It's like
Robitussin didn't have flavors. It was just Robitussin. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then when you went to the Walmart, it was just Tussin.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. When I grew up, it was Dimetapp, but I don't think they make it anymore.
They don't make Dimetapp anymore? Dimetapp tasted like grape drink. It was tasty.
I think maybe that's why they got rid of it. Because
you could make the... Yeah, you can make a... Yeah. Get it yourself, you daggone.
Well, my wrist doesn't work.
You take that. Couldn't reach dingy it. Bastard. So. Apparently, your wrist doesn't work. You tremble when you try to...
Well...
It's not that heavy. You can use two hands if you can't hold it.
That's it.
Go ahead.
I did. I went right ahead.
So it's not very good anyway.
Yeah, of course it's not.
So folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. On the potpourri tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about something that's very important.
Multiple flavors of Robitussin and Dimetapp?
No, two things.
Getting vaccinated.
No. Well, we could talk about that, but that, you know, it's...
Just do it, folks.
I'm a Southern man, and I don't believe in the vaccine. I believe in my freedom. Freedom to...
Clog up the ICU so that regular people can't go.
That's freedom, yes. But I wait long because I take dewormer. And I take horse.
Did you read that article I sent you?
I take horse dewormer.
Rob hadn't heard of it, and then I sent him a link, and he was like, it's not real. And I was like, no, it is.
It is. I verified that I won't take a vaccine that the F whatever it is, Fauci said it was safe. And I said, screw that. I'm going to take horse dewormer.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Because I'm a Southern man, or I'm a Texas man, or I'm a Florida man. Because, damn it, I got my freedom. That's and they're telling me to wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask, even though I'm an ugly fuck, and I look better with a mask on. I don't want to wear a mask.
Only if it's got a hood.
How are you going to kiss
only your, if it's got a hood.
How are you going to kiss your cousin if you're wearing a mask? That's why I'm asking you.
Oh, Jesus.
It's freedom, Scott. It's freedom. I want to make out with my... Well, that's not the point. They want me to wear a mask. What's next? What's next? You tell me. Show me the proof. Show me the evidence that people, that masks work. Show me the evidence.
It is better to take a horse dewormer.
Well, tell me that. Show me the evidence that COVID is real.
I think Rob thought that I was on like some dark website when I was telling him about the horse dewormer.
I thought you were.
And I was like, no. It's like a real life thing.
Some asshole down in Texas who had three kids and his wife's pregnant.
The FDA tweeted. It's almost a hysterical tweet if it wasn't real.
Well, this guy's dead now. Yeah. But he did try to take horse dewormer and vitamin C. Wonder where he heard that. Probably some midget comic.
Usually the folks getting not really, allowed to say really midget. Sick that we're doing it. It's just the point that they really thought that was going to work.
A comic that wears a shirt that's four sizes too small, and he's a commentator on UFC. Who would that be?
Easy.
He's another podcaster. He might have one or two more listeners than this show, but... He's now a Texas man because he doesn't want to pay income tax in California.
Two or more billion listeners.
Well, that's true, but he's...
I don't even let Rob quote him to me anymore.
No, he's an ass clown is what he would be. Yes, he is. I'm not going to say his name. But he was funny on what's that show that was, he was on a sitcom like 55 years ago because it's 102 years old. What was that show called? It was a radio show.
Your voice is like a weird Ross Perot voice.
Now, Ross Perot's voice is far higher than this voice. This is like Ross Perot. But I don't do that voice.
If there was a better
yes?
political cartoon than Ross yes. Perot with the elephant ears.
Well, that's making fun of a man's appearance that he can't fix.
That's what political cartoons are about.
Joe Rogan. I'm sorry, I've said his name. He could stop using all those supplements that he uses, like vitamin C and steroids. I'm sorry. I say that out loud. I did not mean that. Scott loves Joe Rogan. I'm sorry. I said his name. I'm going to say it. I'm going to give him a pseudonym. Foe Blogan. That's his name. Foe Blogan is what his name is. Ho Mogan. No. Ho.
You're really close to like Hulk Hogan.
Hulk. Well, that's true. Yeah, you know.
Did he die?
Hulk Hogan's not so. Dead. No.
He got divorced and had like a 20-year-old girlfriend, but I don't think right. he died.
Somebody that did. That,
yeah, like, I think he dated someone that was younger than his daughter.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. Is it Dog the Bounty Hunter that passed?
No, he's
they got
his wife. His died.
Wife died.
His wife passed.
Yeah.
But they got divorced, I think.
Yeah, I think yeah. you're right.
I don't
and
think
they
got divorced.
Loved yeah. each other. They loved each other. Do you ever watch Dog the Bounty Hunter?
I love Dog.
Yeah.
I love that show.
He's real weird, but yeah. Me They're, and Rachel used well, to watch it, too.
It's a weird show. Mm-hmm. It's a weird business.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine growing up, his dad wasn't a bounty hunter, but he did the repo work that they also did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. Did he have braids in his
Dog
hair?
Dog the Bounty Hunter would make...
He didn't have hair.
You make so much money, but people will like come after you with like a shotgun, and then
it's
super dangerous.
It's a different lifestyle. Yes. What's so repo bringing about?
Who would have ever thought that wine would lead to repo bounty?
Governors from anti-masking states that caught the COVID?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to talk about this asshole in New York. You probably haven't heard this. This is an article on the Wine Spectator. The Tater. And this New York star sommelier was arrested and accused of arson. Khalib Ganzer. He's a wine director and co-owner of, and this ought to be fun, and me saying this in this voice, La Compagnie des Vins Surnaturels. It's a French dining establishment in New York City.
What's this jokester's name?
Caleb Ganzer. Caleb Ganzer. And so what he did was, allegedly, went around and set fire to outdoor dining areas of other restaurants at night. He like lit napkins on fire and would light garbage and outdoor structures. It's fascinating. Caleb Ganzer, you get our asshole of the week. It's a new thing we're doing here. And I've heard tool of the week. No, we don't do that. No.
Holy shit.
And this is asshole of the week.
It's crazy.
You're a stupid asshole, Caleb. You had a pretty good life, and then you set shit on fire on camera because you're an asshole. Asshole of the week is Caleb.
Yeah, it's just...
Any Caleb.
In the modern world, forget security cameras. People have cell phones shooting footage everywhere.
I have a picture of him on Wine Spectator, and he's pouring rosé or orange wine, which makes him an asshole, too, so...
Oh, you love rosé.
No, I do not. That's not rosé. It looks like...
When are we going to have orange wine?
When they actually sell it. I don't know where to buy it.
We talked about it.
They don't have
they
that.
They don't sell it on wine.com.
Not that I know. I don't look too hard.
Once or twice we talked about buying it, but it's a stupid price, too.
How much was
is it?
Yeah, it's just a...
Southern man voice is tiring.
It was like $40 or something.
Screw
for some,
that.
And so it was like the cheapest bottle we could find. It's like, not just for a joke wine, no.
Yeah. Mm.
No,
what's going to happen is you're all going to go to that. What's that place on the west side called?
Talking about Twisted Vine?
No. The discount Big Lots place.
Oh, I ain't going anymore.
You're going to go over there and you're going to see it. And that's when you're going to get it.
Like $2.99?
Yeah.
That and like Noel Elf wine?
Well, I mean, to be honest, all it is a rosé.
Is that what it is?
That's all it is a rosé.
So how do they make it orange? Food coloring? Tiger blood?
You've never seen a rosé that's got a little orange tint to it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Well, yeah, but it was called, it was that shit you brought. What was it called? McNabb Vineyards, where the hell that fucking shit was?
Actually, that little Italian thing had a little orange tint.
We drank that, too.
It was good.
The one and only time, maybe I've been there twice, to that, what's it called? The store?
Homebuys.
Was when I was in labor with Luke, so it was in July. And their whole cereal section, all they had was Christmas cereal.
There's also mice in the one on Morris Road. So.
They had Christmas cereals for a long time.
They had like Christmas Rice Krispies, Christmas Lucky Charms, Christmas.
Which is great if you're going to make like Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah. But it's not great if it's July when that was.
Well, that's I'm sure it's probably fresh. Good for like 2 years.
You know, it's roaches.
Yeah. By the way, the mice that
Rice
I saw.
Rice Krispie treats, sugary cereal.
They weren't in the pet section. They were on the floor. So
gross.
It's pretty nice. Choice. That's what it is. You're like, choice.
New York City listeners are going, so what do you mean? What's your problem?
They're like, we want to hear more Southern Man.
No, they don't. Nobody wants to hear more Southern
Man. You want to hear more Southern Man?
I agree.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here to review the Luke Cabernet here on the Wine Vault. So the 2018 Luke Cabernet from Columbia Valley, while Luke Slope AVA. We're going to go around the room. We're going to get some scores.
Oh, gosh. A numerical score.
Or you could give it a letter. But the numerical score would probably be a little bit better. I'm feeling pretty confident with my scores of integrity this evening. I think I did quite well. Scott just remembered he didn't write it down. So he's writing them down frantically.
False.
Oh, you did. Becky is taking notes. I thought she was drawing her name. She likes to do that.
I was drawing my name.
You like to do that.
I do. I also wrote Maggie's name.
Oh.
Oh, that's a new twist.
Hmm. I like how her name looks in cursive a lot.
Oh, that's good. So what is your numerical score?
So as we discussed, this is not my jam when it comes to wine, but some of the positives that I wrote down, it is a pretty complex red. There's a lot going on. You could spend quite a bit of time going through all the nuances of it. I like the tannins. That's a positive. It is ageable. You can tell that by drinking it. It's very ageable. So I'm giving it an 88.
I think this is a 90 for me based on what it will be in a couple of years. I do like the oaking of this. I do agree with what Rob said. It's probably not for everybody. And, you know, what we've talked about here aside, the tannin is the backbone of this wine. It is probably not for everybody just because of the way it demonstrates that mid palate that has a lot going on, but a lot of it's, I don't want to say subtle, but it's not commonplace things that we Americans
care for in a wine. Mash up a little bit of some Euro stuff.
Bitter chocolate. There's I think also in there, there's a little bit of savory fruit that would come out more with some aging, but there's that chalky minerality, a little smoky thing, and then that bit of pepper on the finish. And I do think what Becky pointed out, she called it Robitussin-ish. I think that's savory fruit on the end too, in the aftertaste.
A little bit.
I think it's got a lot of potential. I like it now. This is, for me, I highly recommend it. But it, the opposite of Becky, this is my jam. I love this.
Sir, my paper on the ground.
It's just the opposite. And
you don't
and it that. Doesn't mean I'm right, Becky's wrong. It's just the difference in our palate.
But you kind of feel that way, don't you?
No, I don't at all. It's like you said, you tasted it before all, each of us, and you said your first thought was, Becky's not going to like this, or something along that line.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. And now it's on to me.
Was Scott finished?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, because I said it was on to me. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Ta-ting.
I'm going to provide this wine 90 of my points. But it's more what Becky and Scott said. If I were going to give it a range, it would be 88 to 90. And it is on the basis of this has a great deal of complexity. It does have a great deal. It has some ageability right there. And I think that it's going to be something that's, I think it's going to be a 90. Definitely. Right now, it's a solid drinking wine that has a lot of complexity that will have some maybe slight off kilter things to some people. So you got to be careful in that regard. So if you see it and you're like, well, I like, you know, you like some, you're, you know, I don't know if you normally drink, what's a one? More of a standard Cali fare. Not junk. I mean, solid Sonoma County stuff. Maybe even Alexander Valley stuff. You like some of that stuff that is well-made and representative. You might not like this. It might be off-putting to you because it does press into a little bit of that mashup of some Euro stuff. Does it necessarily fit? No, it doesn't today. But think about it not today. Think of it 5 years from now. So if you buy it, sit it down. Let it suss itself out. Let it evolve. Even the enthusiast was suggesting it needs a decant. Well, decant, no, a decant is never the same as bottle age. It just it's needs
not.
Bottle age.
It's not. And yeah. So if you're a if you like Napa, if you like Napa and that's what you drink, this is different. But if you like cab and you like to drink different cabs, try this in your repertoire.
If you like Paso, you're not going to like this. You're not. Now, this, though, has some elements of some things that we've had, but it just gets a little bit different. I like it.
You like Chilean cabs? Why not? Just has that little French homage to there.
A little bit. Some of them are similar to this.
Honestly, I can't think of much anything that's really similar to this. This is distinct. I think that's what I like about it most.
Yeah, it has elements of different things, but I've not been around too many wines that kind of do all these things simultaneously.
Yeah, but it is, I would score it higher. I would say it has higher potential, except it is a little disjointed right now.
Well, yeah, it is a little disjointed.
Maybe disjointed's not fair, but it's just...
It needs to suss itself out.
It needs to suss itself out.
It could be a 91, 92 in 5 years. I don't know. I mean, it really could be. It could be. You might even love it, Becky. That's not today. It isn't today.
And we've been wrong before about stuff we've said ageable, and it turns out not to be so.
Ah, but this has the bones. The bones are there. The bones are there.
I would agree.
I think so.
And Jim Suckling said drink or hold.
Well, he always says that. He's just coming on to everybody. That's right. I'm reaching out to everyone to make love to all of you. My masterclass, $250. I will make love to you.
That's a price increase, isn't
it? Literally, I'll come to your house and make love to you.
I thought it was $1.59.
No, for $250, I will come to your house and I will make love to you. Yes, whatever it takes. I need money.
You're so wrong.
I need money. You're so wrong. I'm penniless.
Penniless?
Penniless.
But yours, sir, are penniless.
I would do anything for a dollar. Yes, a dollar. Yes, I'll come to your house for a dollar if you pay my gas money. If you put gas in my tank, you might do that anyway. But if you pay for my travel, I'll do anything.
James, don't you ride a bike?
Do you think Bo needs to
come? You're a very strong negotiator. Damn it, I could do that. Yes, but okay, give me a sandwich afterwards, Scott. So,
pimento cheese.
Two 90s and 88, and yes, a Hall of Fame wine by Luke. Yes. Oh, scores of integrity.
I gave it
88. Becky gave us both 88s, and she would be off by 4 points. Scott, what did you do?
I gave you an 87 and Rebecca an 88.
So you really did bad.
I lost, I'm guessing.
I gave Becky an 87.
Okay.
And I nailed it with a 90 for you. So I win the Scores of Integrity.
This is like your second time ever to win. You maybe, should be so proud.
Maybe third. But
maybe third.
I just knew. Yes. I just know. I just know.
I was hopeful, but I wasn't certain.
I know. And I knew the first sip, she would hate it. But she did drink her glass, so there's that.
Pretty quickly, actually.
She likes it. She just doesn't want to admit it.
It's I think the oaking's just so prevalent in this. I think that's what it was. But there, you know, there's other, you
it's
know,
that little it's not that prevalent. Thing.
I don't know. I don't know. And it's early too. It's dead the beginning of the mid palate that oaking starts.
If I'm guessing what, and she's not here now, so I can say these things, folks. Not criticizing her. If I could guess what she doesn't like, the mid palate does not have fruit. It's hollow, and what it's replacing is with minerality and oak. And I think that hard edge, she doesn't care for. And I can understand that.
It was a really short front palate.
Yes, it is.
It's a good front
palate. It's a short shelf. Now, it's complex and it's lovely, but I get it for people that don't like that, especially in a Cabernet.
You know,
because Cabernets aren't like that.
And reflecting back on what I said, it's French-like. That's what's French-like about it. It has that short, soft fruit thing very French-like.
But not Bordeaux.
No, but I get that. But what I'm saying
not Cabernet.
A lot. Or just not soft, really. Not that sweet blackberry. No. It's that soft blackberry. You said, compote.
I'll pull out the La Parade again. That was very intense, mineral-driven, with berry fruit, but very focused. This isn't nearly as focused as those ones.
This is not.
But I mean, we gave that like 93s because that thing is a magnificent goddess.
That's different.
But this is very solid. Definitely worth your time to buy and sit down for a few years. 3 to 5 max. But you're going to find something after the 3 to 5. I think it's going to be really, really, really good.
And I think people are going
to. You're going to like. I think everyone will like it in 3 to 5 years. Everyone
and
will.
Not
probably
just
closer
that,
to 5 than 3. But
I think it's interesting.
It is definitely interesting.
It's interesting.
If you want to challenge yourself, go ahead and buy it and open it. But I don't. I think you're wasting it doing that. I think that it's to do it justice. You're going to sit this down for several years, and then readdress it, and then you're going to find something a wine that you enjoy. And it's nice that they made a $20 wine that you can sit down, that can age, that will be good in the future.
And I think it'd be interesting to let this sit a year and see what it is too.
I'm not. I would set it down for the 5 years, and I would just roll with it then.
Okay,
that's what I would do.
That's why I'm going to buy 6.
That's a lot of that, but that's okay.
It's $20.
I know, but that's a lot of that.
I almost find this as interesting as all Patagua.
There's a lot of stuff out there that I would mix up. I mean, I don't like it so much that I would buy 6 bottles of it.
Okay.
But I think that it's worth a couple, but not 6.
Okay.
I mean, I'll buy 6 bottles of, I mean, hell, there's, I would buy 6 bottles. Stuff I do that with or in this price range, fun Beaujolais stuff. And I'll tell you what, some of like Jean Brocard, is it Brocard? I believe. Jean-Marc Brocard. His stuff, it's in the $20 range, the Gamay stuff. Jesus Christ. I did one not too long ago. Jesus Christ, that stuff is amazing. I mean, Pinot, what's that? That's the stuff that I would buy 50 cases of. This stuff, I buy a couple bottles of it. It's a nice little experiment. But it's one of those things. Do I love it today? Am I jonesing to buy it? Am I picking up the phone right now to place the order? No, I'm not. But.
Where I, on the other hand, I will.
I know you will.
This hits the spot for me.
It might. It might. And I can see why it would. So, folks. 290 is an 88, a victory for me on the, Scores of Integrity. But nevertheless, for Scott the Wine Guy. No, he's not the Wine Guy. You're wearing the hat, though. Scott's wearing the Wine Guy hat.
No, you just, the Integrity. You thought about yourself and Integrity, and you mismatched your words.
For Scott the Hot Tub Man, for Rob the Wine Guy, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu. Also, Bo as well. But we will all see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.